Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see, Jessica Chaffin?
Oh, I doubt it.
Your eyes just were glazed over during that.
I was so impressed by the choreography of
yeah.
it all.
Yeah, I know. We've been doing this podcast for a really long time now.
But also you two have a great dynamic to begin with.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's sort of like, really, it all just
it's like
gels.
Watching magic. It's like watching a magician.
It was like Lucy and Ethel.
Yeah. It was like watching close-up magic. When
yes.
you can't see the seams at all.
Oh my God.
But you're just dazzled by it.
A close-up magician can get into my soul. He can get into my psyche. And I can remember that time we outside the magic castle that that close-up magician was doing. Because here's what they do. They just come up and, well, this guy did. He was the most brilliant man I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
And he, magician, sorry.
In a suit that hadn't been dry cleaned for
yes,
2.5 weeks.
Yes, it was
weeks.
This guy, and we were waiting for the valet, and
he only wears it once a week when he goes to the magic castle. So
2.5 years, I'll amend that suit.
But we were waiting for the valet, and he just kind of walked up and he said, hey, you want to see some magic? Like, he said it in this way that was just like, I don't have to, but like, I think you guys might enjoy this. And we were like, yeah, we'd love to. And he started doing the smallest movements with like this pack of cards or something, or with a coin, and just no surprise on his face, nothing that would make you think he's doing something crazy, but he was doing something magical. And then he was just like, all right, well, thanks. And walked away.
Yeah,
that's what a close-up magician does.
A subtle close-up magician.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No flourish.
My Uncle Steve, who has, he'll always try. He's a lawyer by day, magician by night. Mm. And he'll always try to do some sort of subtle close-up magic at first, but then it will fail. So then he pulls out his fire wallet, which is a wallet that he goes, oh man, I paid so much for my daughter's wedding. I'm all out of money. And he opens up his wallet and it bursts into flames.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah.
It's good. I've seen it.
It is good.
Is it, people appreciate this?
Well,
are they tired of it yet?
What if his wallet actually did catch on fire and no one would believe him?
Right.
That's the thing.
That,
if he said, oh my God,
wolf.
My wallet's on
yeah,
fire.
That's the trouble with magic.
You yeah. never know.
It's true.
If yeah,
people don't know where the line is.
No, they don't. But I think we're getting to a point in our culture where we're starting to draw that line between magic. And,
but now there's so much illusionism. Or
what is real?
No, well, I just mean like so many people putting themselves in boxes above freeways and, you know, all that.
Yeah,
dumb
dare
stuff.
To dream.
Yeah.
If
holding
I.
their breath for 12 and a half minutes and then not be, you know.
Do you believe they actually do that, or do you believe they get into the box and then they crawl out and then there's just like a mannequin in there or
well,
something?
Well, I haven't. Wait, there was some television show I watched once which kind of went behind the scenes of something like that, and they had a little oxygen tube.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So all magic is just tricks.
How disappointing.
No, girl, you can't think like that.
Some of it's tricks, some of it's training.
Some of it's miracles, some of it's God.
I know, no one can hold their breath for 12 minutes.
Sure they can.
Okay, well, yeah, yes.
Divers, rock divers.
They can hold
what
their breath.
What are rock divers?
I don't know.
Can you throw a rock into the ocean?
I don't know. They dive around rocks. Like people that go to the bottom of the ocean for abalone. And stuff
they
like that.
They hold their breath.
There's actually
for 12
a whole culture
minutes?
Of women in Japan,
I've
believe,
heard of this.
Who are pearl divers, I think. And they are all trained and can hold their breath for, I don't know how long, 7 minutes, something like that. I don't know what the long, I don't know what the like Guinness Book of World Record for breath holding is, but I'm pretty sure supposedly David Blaine did that when he was working on one of his tricks, like, you know, worked on his lung capacity to the best of his ability.
But I think that's fake, though. Maybe not the pearl divers.
That's training. But, yeah, but if he's got an oxygen tube, I mean, I'll go sleep in a box for two weeks.
Yeah, well, how much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's
sure,
the right. like where's the like shit compartment in the box? You know? Like,
that's always other, that's loose some other box. Training that yeah. you have to do.
But at the end of the day, you can't blame him.
No.
What about, do you like Criss Angel?
No.
You don't?
Whoa, that was a strong reaction. What's your history?
What's to like?
Oh, my God. I don't know. The stage presence? I don't know.
No, I'm not. I don't trust men that take that long to put jewelry on in the morning.
How do you know how long it takes them to put on jewelry?
Because I know how long it takes to put a ring on and take it off
but
myself.
You're not a magician.
You think they just levitate onto
yes.
his fingers?
Well, that's how
he just
might,
snaps
what...
his fingers and they all appear.
They all come at him. He his hands are a magnet and then
he probably did that. He probably like inserted magnets into himself and
so
when he wakes
Wolverine,
up in the morning.
Basically, yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Bad hair that he has just decided on.
I don't know.
I don't like
I
anybody
like
that
it.
Doesn't adjust their look a little bit.
I like
so you
I
like
agree.
A cheesy
I like
you
a
like
Long
a mesmerizer.
Island.
You like someone that's gonna like
yes, I
hypnotize
like,
you.
I like someone I know I shouldn't be trusting. Yet they're in front of me and
bad boy of magic. That's what you like.
But like a Long Island bad boy of magic. Yeah. Like I'm
he's like, go ahead, look in the box. No, you don't want to.
Yeah, you don't
no,
want to look in the
that's
box.
It's not for you. Don't worry about
I
it.
I like it. I don't know. I'm just there's something intriguing about it.
You like you like he's a working class magician.
Yes,
kind of?
Yes. Yeah, he's like the Bruce Springsteen of the
oh my
magic
God.
World.
Poor yeah. Bruce Springsteen.
One time when I was like on a trip to New York City with my family, I was like 9. There was this street magician, and he was more of like a panhandler. But he was doing this act, and when I was a kid, I would get called on to like. Be and like volunteer a lot in things.
Wait,
like
what
I
are
think
you talking about?
I just have a face like I could be duped.
Also, like, you would raise your hand.
I would definitely raise my hand, but it was
and
like,
you were like a beautiful little blonde girl who was perfect for the show.
Yeah, like I would be, but like they were like, she's not going to cause waves. You know,
right,
she's going
to go
with the flow. But anyway, so
little did they know about your mischievous nature.
Well, the whole act of this, and there's this big circle surrounding me. And the guy was doing like, I think he had like a wand or he was pulling like scarves out. So he was doing this thing where he was pulling scarves out of like my sleeve. And then he pulled it all the way out and held it up. And there was this big bra. And like the gag was that he had to, like taken off
your
my
bra.
Yeah. And I was so embarrassed and ashamed.
So I was in Boston this weekend and I went to Quincy Market. Have you ever been there?
Uh-uh.
They have these things called bull carts, which are what you think of as like a cart you can push around that you see in a mall that has, you know, spirally dream catchers on it or
like
lobster
what,
stuffed animals
like
or
what
whatever.
Tia and Tamara's mom on Sister Sister got at the mall in Sister Sister.
She was running a push cart in a mall?
Yes, I believe so. She said, I got a store at the mall in one episode and then they all go to the mall to see her store, but actually it's one of the
kiosk.
Yeah, it was a kiosk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
It was a shocking episode. It really turned network TV on its head, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it turned that family upside down, at least for half an episode. Imagine your mom telling you she got a store and then being like, where are the walls?
Yeah.
Was that the premise, that everyone was mad at their mom for lying?
I mean, it just makes her an absolute fabulous.
No, I think it was about kind of like expectations like that came up short. It was kind of about
disappointment,
the human experience at the end of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, but also about, can you trust your own mother? Like, remember all that stuff she told us? Was that true too?
But it was Jack Kay. So like, they couldn't take anything she was saying too seriously.
Nothing better than Jack Kay. The greatest.
She is the greatest.
Mary. Oh, Mary, your dress is so...
All right, so what happened at the Sister Sister
oh,
push
Mary,
cart?
I can't go down.
I used to just love her on 227. The point is, we get there and there's already some street performers doing their act and it's like two guys with a ladder. It's street theater, so it's like acrobatics / magic. It's not magic, they're just hyping themselves. Mm-hmm. They're like, for our next feat, you know, like that.
Right, they're like, they're like doing a somersault while pulling flowers out of their hat.
Yeah, but There wasn't any, there weren't any scarves, or the prop was the getting the crowd to come in and hold the ladder. And
then
what
would
will
climb
we do next?
And, oh, yeah, more like acrobatics.
Yeah. So the finale.
Magicrobatics.
Macrobatics.
Macrobatic. They were macrobiotic. And they would just sit there and eat a bowl in front of you that had no grains at all.
Well, that's the true magic, and is when, a quinoa.
Well, the real magic was when they were full, they stopped eating.
Oh God.
That's why you got to pour water on it.
The magic of all macrobiotics.
No, Diet Coke. That's a, I, growing up, I heard that Lindsay Lohan.
No, I heard it was water.
Salt.
No, Lindsay Lohan, at the end of her meal, the minute she's done, she dumps her Diet Coke on her plate.
Wow. I believe that completely. That's like an old anorexic trick.
Yeah.
The other one is salt. You just pour salt all over it, and then you can't eat it anymore.
But to me, that makes the food taste better.
No, girl.
Like dump a salt shaker.
So what did they do?
So I knew we were in trouble when they announced that their name was the Red Pants Brigade.
Oh,
and
no.
They were just wearing red pants. Oh, they had, you know what they'd done? They'd eaten some swords.
Oh.
Like it was that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's magic.
No, that's careless, Amanda.
And so they were up the top of the ladder, and it was like for our big finale. And while they're at the top of the ladder, they start giving their sales pitch about how much money people should leave for them.
Okay.
It was a good 4 minutes long, the sales pitch. $5 was basically the minimum that they were willing to accept. Yeah. And they also said, if you give us less than $5, you're telling us we didn't do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it was just so like, I was like, I cannot get into a relationship with these two. I'm already in so many relationships that are so complicated in my life. Mm-hmm. Like,
this sounds a lot like the way Marie and I do our asks for our Patreon
you're
money.
You're kind of describing.
Probably. Yeah, that's really what we do.
How it feels.
It's really aggressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm sure.
It was super aggressive, and it ruined the end of the show.
Of course.
And they were like, and then they were kind of like harshing on the people that chose to walk away. And I was like, you've literally bored us to death now. And then their big move was they had a lot of core strength. So they just kind of hung off sideways the side of the ladder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it was windy.
Yeah.
Like they were flags.
Well, maybe this is a good,
like strippers.
Maybe this is a good segue to do our own Red Pants Brigade ask.
Okay. So when we do this ask, we do this at the top of the episodes. So when we're doing this, imagine Maria and I and Jessica as well in red pants. Were they topless?
One of them had a black tank top on, and the other one, as I mentioned, was topless with the giant zit.
I'd like the tank top.
Of course you would. Fine. I'll take the zit.
And then you can be the ladder, Jessica.
I'll be the ladder.
Okay, so we're hanging off of Jessica in red pants. And go ahead, Maria.
And look.
Look.
And tell me if this is kind of how they would have done it.
Yeah.
Guys, we do this every week.
Yeah.
And this is like, we're putting ourselves out there for you guys. We're taking time. We're coming out here. And the least you guys could do is rate and review us.
We are giving you free premium content consistently every single week. And in order for this to continue, you must rate and review. And if you want.
No, you have to.
And you must join our Patreon.
You have to. And for as little as a dollar.
But if you give only a dollar, I mean, you should really be giving 10% of your income.
Tithing.
That's right.
What do they get?
Oh, great question. 2 bonus episodes a month.
A month?
Yes.
Yeah, why do you say it like that?
And, well, how much are they?
What do you mean?
How much is the Patreon to join?
As little as a dollar.
So for as little as a dollar, you don't have a number that you're just like, for $5 or more, you can have 2 extra episodes?
No.
Oh.
Mm. I never said we were businessmen. But
I mean,
we
literally are businessmen, though.
We were businessmen. I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, join our Patreon. Subscribe.
I mean,
please.
That's a bargain.
That's what we keep saying.
Yeah.
And this is the weird part. We got to 400
Patreon subscribers.
No, we've got, I think, more than that. But we got 400 reviews on Apple. But here's the thing. I'll look at some of these other shows and they'll have like 12,500.
But maybe they've been doing it for 7 years.
I don't think, a lot of these, I don't think so.
I mean, we've been doing this now for 2 years?
I'm sorry, maybe? But we should have 2,500. Sorry.
Okay, so if we don't get to 2,500 reviews.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. By January, then we're stopping the podcast.
That's it. That we're done.
Okay.
We're done.
Fair.
And we'll be on this ladder that entire time. But honestly, we are.
They were a little nicer about it.
Were they?
Yeah. Oh. They were.
Well, they weren't women, though.
No, so true.
So you thought they were being nicer.
So true.
It didn't sound as gruff coming out of their voices.
No, it just sounded...
This is the thing, though. Sometimes I feel like people in our lives think they are exempt from having to give us reviews.
So you better do
it, too. I'm not going to leave a review.
Come on.
It's just not my way.
That is so sick.
Somebody said to me, accused me that I was going to leave a Yelp review today. I said, absolutely not.
Why? What happened?
I don't crowdsource.
Did you
That's
have a
not
bad
my thing.
Customer
tell
service
you right
experience?
Now, I will tell you right now, I 100% participate in crowdsource apps, and I do not contribute any data at all. It is not Waze's business where I'm going on a given day.
Okay, that's fair.
Oh, like Hazard in the Road, did you see it? And I'm like, what else you want to know?
Exactly.
Did I see it outside where I get my bikini waxed? Is that what you're asking?
Okay.
And then you're going to sell that information? Mm-hmm. No.
Next thing you know, there's a crowd of people waiting for you.
Right?
Should we get to our little big one?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm dying to hear this.
Well, I don't have a solution for it.
Okay, that's great.
That's where
we
come in.
And the solution, it goes back to doing a thing I try not to do, which is double booking.
Oh, like on accident?
Like I used to be a chronic double booker.
I see.
Meaning like, I always felt like if somebody invited me to something, they didn't care too much if I came or I didn't come. So I would be like, oh, okay, I've got this on Saturday. But it wasn't really like I was looking for the best option. It was just like, oh, that was nice of them to invite me. Maybe it explains why no one invites me to anything anymore. I always think that's much like the podcast review thing. It's like, some people believe, people love my company and it's great when I show up. And I think I'm a fun addition to any party.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the host really cares whether I come or not.
I see. So you'll like RSVP yes to two conflicting events and then just...
Well, not anymore, but that's something I used to do a while ago.
You Mrs. Doubtfire it is what you're saying.
But then when you end up going...
Never seen it.
What?
Never seen it. Really? I almost watched it on the plane last week and I was like, I just can't.
Well, at the end, let me just tell you, at the end, he's supposed to have a very important business dinner with someone he wants to get a job from. And then he's also, and that's him as the guy.
Yeah.
And then he's also supposed to be Mrs. Doubtfire at a very important family event at the same restaurant.
Yeah.
So my God, does he have to do the runaround when he has to go in and out of the bathroom changing clothes from Mrs. Doubtfire back to whatever
the man.
Table to table.
Well, I'm in the exact same situation.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a classic Peter Brady is what that is. I don't know if you ever watched the Brady Bunch.
I've seen it, yeah.
He had two girls and he had two dates at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is not something that happened intentionally because I wouldn't RSV to a big party and then also RSVP to another party. Like, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, I don't do this anymore because it's not nice. And also, like, it's, you know, angst provoking.
Okay, so you would do it on purpose where you were just like...
I used to just be like, oh, okay, cool. Somebody invited me to dinner and then there's this other thing. But absolutely, if someone was having like a dinner party, I'm going
to... You're not going to no-show to a
you
dinner
gotta,
party.
And you got to give them that number and that notice and all that stuff. But it's just something you do when you're young where you're like, oh, okay, cool. There's a concert and there's another thing.
Yeah, I've done that. I have been guilty of that where there'll be like two activities on a Saturday night. So I kind of half commit to each one. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to see. I've got this other thing, but let me see. And then I say the same thing to the other one.
Yes, I would always say like, let me see or I'll let you know. Or...
And then you're kind of keeping it open. Like, I'm going to see what I feel like on the day. But what I usually end up doing is not going to either. Because mm-hmm. if I have an out from a social obligation, like any sort of tiny I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the danger of that is for me.
I have a family party, basically. That's not true. That's not what it is. I have these godparents and they wanted to go see this show and I got the tickets for the show. But when I booked it with them, I said to them, it'll depend on work, whether I can come because everything always depends on work. So I may not be, they don't live in the same city as me. They live far away. So I was like, you know, have a third person in your pocket, but I would love to go with you. At the same time, I bought the tickets and I booked it and everything. And it's my gift to them for their birthday. they both have birthdays within a month of each other. And the other thing is that a good friend of mine is having his 40th birthday, but he's having a weekend away that weekend. So his birthday is actually tomorrow, and then he's having a weekend away. And so when they asked, I don't know which thing happened first, but I think we were like, yeah, we'd love to go away for your birthday. Like, mm-hmm. we're in, just let us know. And then those things, I really can't remember how they happened at the same time, but they ended up being the same weekend. Mm. Like, let's say they told us save the date 5 months ago, and then I bought these tickets because there was only certain weekends that worked for the elderly people. And there was only certain weekends that the singer was going to be in the show, like, and they wanted to see him. And so now I'm kind of like, oh shit, what do I do? Because the 40th birthday friend is a very good friend and is the kind of friend who's incredibly generous and doesn't ask anybody for anything and wouldn't really ask you to show up, but it would mean a lot to him to show up.
Yeah.
And the other people are much older. And so that's a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Oh, you have this is ongoing.
No. So at the moment I've done nothing because I kept thinking like, well, work is going to decide this for me.
Hoping that maybe something would come up and you wouldn't be available for either.
If I have a job and it shoots in LA, then I can go to the 40th birthday.
I see. But you couldn't travel.
The other show is out of the country.
This is the kind of issue that would keep me up at night.
It's not great.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's really bothering me because I genuinely love both of these people so much. So it's rare that I have a situation that I would really want to be in both in two places
right.
at once.
You got to book something. You have to book something.
I know.
We could
you put this out to your Patreon crowd?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of work are you looking for?
Usually acting.
Yeah, but
is there anything else that you might be able to do?
That I would care enough about to not.
Yeah.
Or just to say that you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, even if it was like...
Oh, no, but that's wanting to get out of the first one. I'm not really wanting to get out of the first
one. But something that would keep you in LA. Like, maybe you agreed to help
someone move.
A volunteer activity.
Move. Yeah. No way.
Maybe one of
I'll
your
just
friends
do a quick
breaks
AIDS
their
walk.
Leg.
Quick AIDS walk.
There's a marathon. Some sort yeah. of local...
I don't know what you do. So
tricky.
So, but you said, which one did you say yes to first?
I
or
can't,
not yes, but like, which one did
I
you?
I can't recall. I think that I thought his weekend away was the weekend of his birthday.
Ah.
And it's 3 weeks later.
A clerical error.
So it is, I'd have to like go into the records, but my guess is I said yes to his thinking it was around his, we want to go away for his birthday. Thinking it was around his birthday. And then went and bought these other tickets and then was like, oh, the birthday weekend is not the birthday weekend. It's 3 weeks later.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to end up staying in LA.
Wow.
That's just my read on the situation.
I'm curious why.
I think because it's like that's the default. And if you're waiting to see how things unfold, chances are you're going to wait and see and then be in LA.
There's another wrinkle.
Oh.
I bought the tickets to this show on Saturday night and then... There's a venue that I've never been to and the parents were like, well, you've never been to Royal Festival Hall.
Oh, no.
So we bought tickets for Sunday night for that. And I'm just like, oh, boy.
Oh, so yeah. Now you got a two.
So now I've got a two event weekend, both events, by the way, which like are really for them.
But they spent money on you.
Yeah, but I spent money on them, too.
Right.
But also, it doesn't matter that they spent money on me. That's less the point. They can always take somebody else with them. And they're like, they'll enjoy it. But it was the thought.
I say you go to the godparents thing and then you take your friend out for a really nice dinner.
I know. It's just he doesn't. I think I would be diminished just a tad in his eyes because he doesn't really ask for anything. And his wife has organized this weekend and...
Does it look fun?
Well, I'm not a person who wants to go stay at a house with six other couples. Mm-hmm. But even they seem to know that. So they were like, well, you guys can stay at a hotel and then come over for dinner and for this.
Right.
I don't know. It's tricky.
But the older people are older.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't go see the older people, you'll find another weekend to go out there. Don't you think?
I was just there actually a week ago.
Doesn't that
change something. I don't know, but this is the kind of thing that would stress me out so much, like maybe a couple years ago. But now I've gotten to a point where when this stuff happens, and especially if it ever happens with jobs, because you know, when you book a job, there's a good chance you're going to get some offer for something else that's like conflicting, like just because that's how stuff always happens. It's like nothing and then two things on the exact same day. Mm-hmm. It would stress me out so much. But now I literally just leave my body. And I'm like, this is in someone else's hands. It's just going to have to
work out. Don't respond to the emails anymore?
I just go away. I say if they want me, they'll find me.
And they don't ever don't find know. Her.
I don't really understand how in practice that philosophy works.
No, it just means like I'm not going to make a decision until something happens that makes it really clear to me that this is...
Well, I've sort right of that's what I've sort of done is left it to the fates at the moment.
Because what's the use in stressing about it? It just is what it is. But
you could always talk to the godparents and be like, hey, if this is a bad idea, but I'm just saying it. If this is important to you, blah, blah, blah. But my friend.
No, if this is important, if this thing I organized on your behalf and paid for is important.
I'm sorry, but my gut says you go to the godparents.
Really?
Yeah. Mm, I know.
50-50 split.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was like friend's birthday party.
No, I say if you planned it and older people, you know, because there's that's five the other, there's people. There's six other couples going to this other birthday.
That's true.
Thing. And so then
I'm not going to be the star of the birthday.
No, you could.
You know what
your
I mean?
Birthday.
I'm going to be the star of the other event.
And that's important.
True.
That you
know
is
what
true.
I mean? Like, let's think about that.
Marie, you're swaying me. You're luring me over
I
to
am?
Your side. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like, if it's a one-on-one kind of thing and they seem super excited about it and the friend might be disappointed, but you can always take them out to dinner and they're in LA and you can make it up to them.
I don't know. I think I'll be diminished in his eyes.
But that's on them. That's not on you.
Oh, I think it would be fair of him to feel that way.
Mm.
I mean, it would be
it's a good
a shitty thing to do. Yeah. He's a great guy. Incredibly generous.
Well, if he's that great, he's not going to diminish you. He's going to see because he's going to know.
He might be disappointed. I hate the idea of disappointing him.
Disappointment is not diminishing. Disappointment is fine.
He's not mad. He's disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Well, no one's like, perfect. People make scheduling errors.
Yeah, people are assholes. Life goes on.
Yeah, life does
Your best
go
friends
on.
Fuck you over. You know, like, you
I don't,
have, to,
yeah.
have to just decide. Like, do you care?
Yeah.
So chime in with what you think Jessica should
we
do.
We can't wait. Will
leave
you
an iTunes
us?
Review. Can you guys leave an iTunes review?
Yes, saying what?
Letting me know what you think I should do. And yes, I'll update you.
So thank I you. Think we should get to our big, big one after this quick break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, we're back.
Okay,
ooh,
are
I
you
feel refreshed?
Are you ladies ready for the big, big one?
Nervous.
Okay. Well, I'll read it and then I'll let you kind of guess what it was inspired by because it's inspired by two films that I've smushed together. You are a working class girl and a single mom from Staten Island who is a secretary in the mergers and acquisitions department of a Wall Street investment bank.
Let the river run.
You aspire to reach an executive position, but no one takes you seriously because A, you're a woman who wears short skirts, and B, you don't have an Ivy League education, although you did get your BA in business from night school. You have the street smarts and a lot of good ideas for the company, if only someone would give you a chance. One day, your boss breaks her leg in a ski accident. Through a series of mishaps and miscommunications, you're mistaken for your boss. You know that this is happening, but you don't say anything because you can't believe your dreams are coming true. You're an amazing CEO, and you completely overturn the firm with your edgy ideas. The company is thriving. But then, your boss comes back and sees you sitting in her high-back leather chair. She outs you to the company. Should you get to keep the job or be given a comparable position at the company? Or should you be fired for assuming a fake identity and posing as a CEO?
Well, it's fraud. I mean, it's a clear cut case of fraud.
It is fraud. That is, there's no getting around that.
And there's the fantasy answer, and there's the fact that there's a board of directors.
Right.
And also investors.
Well, let me just say that this is inspired by Working Girl, but also with some elements of Second Act, the Jennifer Lopez movie.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think if there are some tweaks we want to kind of make to really wrap our heads around it, we can do that too. But off the bat, so Jessica, you're saying fraud.
I think it's actually a very tricky situation because it speaks to character. And so the question really, when you watch the movie, you think, boy, she's got so much chutzpah and gumption and like, wow, like, that's awesome. Like, anybody can be anything if they just want it bad enough, you know, and that's a nice lesson. But it really is a question of like, you are misleading investors. You have made everybody feel like a fool. You would like to think that people can put that aside and factor in. You never hear anybody at the end of those movies say, well, I got to say this, Tess, knowing your background, knowing where you came from, knowing the way that society works, you really weren't going to ever have this opportunity. So we give you a free pass on that. Like, that's never articulated. It's always just like it either works out or it doesn't work out. But no one ever says, the odds are stacked against you in society. We as a company recognize that now. We're really impressed with the work that you've done. And actually, we'd like to keep you on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a character issue because you have lied to everybody at that. You almost want the person to get the job at another company.
Right. Well, I think part of it that's like a little makes a difference to me is that you're kind of a passenger. The ball gets rolling without you because people are mistaking you. I think it is different if you're going in and posing as an exec. Like there is a movie with.
But there's the moment where you get to where you could say, oh, yes. I'm sorry, I'm not Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Absolutely. I guess maybe putting ourselves in.
But good ideas can come from anywhere.
That's right. And can you blame this woman, though, is kind of my question. And I don't think so, because she really has nothing to lose. I guess she could go to jail and lose her child. Now that I think of it. But it's like at a certain point.
Do you think it's ever really happened?
I bet in the way where people lie on their resumes.
Yes.
That someone like totally unqualified.
Who's that woman? That's fair. This woman? Who's this
the
woman?
The tiny woman?
No, I'm putting my fingers up. And the pill woman.
The pill woman.
Theranos.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Not
Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Holmes.
It's that thing of like.
Well, they're also. That wasn't a pill. That's a nano blood needle.
Yes. It was called the. What was that thing called? The nano.
The blood needle.
Yeah, something like that.
No.
But her situation, right, was like she was lying to everyone, but she was like still trying to. Her original idea was correct, right? Like it was a.
No.
Okay.
Her idea was never sound.
Okay.
And that was, she just wanted it to be really hard. And so the idea of it, but this is what Silicon Valley is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all want a unicorn. So they all want a company. Somebody has an idea. Her idea is a great idea.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, is it possible?
Right.
So then you raise all this money to try and see if we can figure it out. We want to make a car that drives by itself. You know, like, okay, great idea. Can we make one? Or can we mass produce them? What is the like health and safety issues? Like, are people going to die in these cars? You know, like there's all whatever goes into building a company around an idea.
Right.
So she had this idea, which was a revolutionary idea. What if you could just get blood tests in Walgreens or wherever on the battlefield, this place, that place, and you would immediately get your results? And what if you could do it with just a prick of blood? Because people hate blood and diabetics are constantly
it's
having
like
to
saying,
prick their blood and all that
it's
stuff.
It's like me saying, like, I wish that I had a magic carpet I could fly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
And then you raise $1 billion and you start testing stuff out, and then but it's not working. But then you say, no, we've got one.
It was very clear. It was very clear that it wasn't going to work at least the other problem was not just that it couldn't some version of it couldn't develop into some other version. The other problem was that she wanted it to look how she wanted it to look
right.
and to act how she wanted it to act. And the engineers right. were telling her, like, well, we can do this, but the box has to be like the size of this table instead of looking like a Mac printer. And she was obsessed with Steve Jobs. And so she wanted everything to like look great
right.
and be. And it's like, well, that's the ideal. But
right.
we could do like a not sexy lab in a Walgreens. And also she also wanted it to do like 300 blood tests, like screen for 300 things instead
right.
of, it could really only do like two or three things in the end.
So overall, where,
but she knew at some point that it wasn't working, but she was a total psychopath and
yeah.
just kept going.
It's this kind of fake it till you make it mentality. And I think,
which we have to respect because part of that is also like what this country is about. Like this idea that Tess in Working Girl or whatever is told, we're all told from childhood that you can do what you want to do. You should be able to do anything. And in theory, in this country, more than any country in the world, that's a possibility. But there are all these barriers. So I guess it's also fair to say, like, well, those people aren't playing fair. Those barriers are not fair. So how do I get around that? It's the same thing with racism or homophobia or whatever, where it's like, well, we'll just find a way to not, we'll find another reason we can't hire you. Or we'll start earlier than that and we won't admit you to certain universities. And then you'll need that university to get into this job and blah, blah, blah. So I think that gumption is necessary in many cases.
Is it fair? I mean, in this scenario, in the Melanie Griffith scenario, she's breaking a law, right? Because she's being fraudulent in like a, you know, in a workplace. But is there something to, you know, what about if it's outside of the law and it's just kind of like culturally, like think of like J.T. Leroy or something like that.
Okay.
And think of like that woman. So that woman wrote a book, this just like middle-aged woman wrote as a trans guy,
I don't think JT, she was playing someone who's trans. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
she was. She was.
But
she was
trans
she was transitioning when she came out to people. But
I didn't know if there was an actual transition. Was there? But anyway, it was a gender ambiguous. Yeah.
But she wrote these stories about a young boy who had been through hell and back, and she was writing it as this guy, and people were loving it and responding to it, but it was her just writing. It was like this, but no one knew her face. And then basically when she was being asked to go be in public, she then hired her cousin or her sister-in-law or someone
so
in the family.
Noop her sister-in-law to
yeah,
play this guy.
To play the guy, and then they duped all the world for like the next year or so.
Yeah.
I mean,
and this is interesting. And when the fake author was friends with all these celebrities, was getting mm-hmm. invited to all these chic parties. And something similar to this happened more recently on the LA Municipal Dance Squad. This woman named Penelope has a brand called Fashion Brand Company, who's a woman run clothing. She's a woman run clothing brand. And a while ago, they were looking for investors, and she and her partner, they created a fake male persona who as the head of the company, and they got all of this interest from investors. And then it came out later that they were actually two girls who had created a fake male CEO. And they were taken much more seriously through doing this. And they actually just sold their life rights to be optioned into a movie.
Right.
Wow.
But is that morally wrong to do something like that?
Well, I think in the case, so
the J.T. Leroy thing was absolutely, you can look at it as performance art and you can put it in that category. And that was kind of what those people were doing. But they also were, to me, I mean, look, it's so hard to have a book be a sensation.
Right.
And if people were responding to this sensational book, but the book was fiction, it wasn't autobiographical.
But it was claimed to be autobiographical.
Right. But that's where the lie starts. like this woman could have written a fictional book.
Yeah.
Maybe people would have read it, and maybe not. Probably not.
Right.
Just because of the amount that it takes to publicize, you know, like how do you cut through the noise kind of thing. And that's what they did with this character. But yeah, I mean, it's fraud. That to me is, I don't have the sympathy for them that I have for Working Girl. Yeah.
Really? But there's, but with Working Girl, I mean, it really is, I guess. Okay. So you're saying with Working Girl, it's that she's kind of fallen into this. And at any point she could have said, hey, I'm not who you think I am. So that's her being passive in the situation, right? And in the J.T. Leroy situation, they're not being passive. They're aggressively lying. But aren't they, in the end, kind of the same thing of, say, of not helping or, like, not... It's that tram dilemma or whatever, where it's like you can pull the lever and the tram will veer to the right and kill one person, or you can stand back and let the tram go straight and kill, like, 10 people. That's like a...
How is that the same thing?
Because it's...
It's like being passive as bad as taking action. And
they're both killing someone. By being passive, you let it kill 10 people. By doing action, you have it kill one person. But then you're responsible for killing one person.
So you're saying the JT Leroy, they were more active in the con.
Yes.
But to me, I kind of love it all because you're making assholes look like assholes. You know what I mean? Like the people that you're duping.
But in the J.T. Leroy, so I guess for me, at the heart of it, you're not making assholes look like assholes. At the heart of it, you're making assholes of your fans. The people that read her, meaning the woman who wrote its life story, connected so hard to that person. That's what made them a celebrity. They felt everybody had all this empathy for this oh my God, this person has lived this horrible life. Mm-hmm. And like, this is an incredible story. And look how she's basically Truman Capote, or he, she, I don't know how they called the character at the time. And so you're conning your audience. You're not conning the book publisher. You're also conning the book publishing industry, but you're really conning your audience. And so it would be like doing this show and saying you're somebody and not, and I mean, like, but with the other one, I agree, you're exposing people for who they are, which is you guys say that all you care about is the business succeeding, but you don't want to hear my ideas.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think of it from the fans' perspective. So in that way, I do
think...
That's
just buying those books.
Yeah, that's interesting because I do think that there's something
different
there.
Whereas if it's fiction, then it can be whatever it wants to be.
But it's also in the Working Girl scenario, I mean, you're saying you're making assholes look like assholes, but that's a very broad statement, as in like there may
be... You're exposing the system might be a better way to...
You're exposing the system, but in the process, you may be burning down, you know, other people's careers and business and everything that may not be that. I mean, for the overall, you know, the overall system, sure, but there's going to be a trail of people left behind you that were...
Well, yeah, because you're going to fall in love with someone.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But how are you going to not fall in love with
Harrison
Ford?
It's like Shakespeare. Shakespeare in Love is another... This is like very common in movies.
She was wrong. She was dead wrong.
You think
to do
so?
What she
to
did.
Do that? No.
That was just... That was wrong to do what she did.
That was disgusting. Yeah,
I did not appreciate what she did to Shakespeare. But the other thing in thinking about the difference between the J.T. Leroy and the Working Girl thing is that there is this sense of art. Artistic value to it in a way, because you do look, and the other thing with J.T. Leroy is it's the Working Girl is scamming the system. I would say J.T. Leroy is doing the same thing, because what they were able to kind of become by being exactly what they wanted those celebrities to be around and be like fawn over. I mean, when you watch those documentaries on it and you see these celebrities being like just fawning over the fact that this person they want to be part of this person's life. They've never seen anything like it. It's like you're exposing this need to kind of be around sycophants and
you
stuff.
You know
like
what
that.
Was so disgusting was the Joaquin Phoenix thing.
Oh, you remember his documentary?
I never watched that. I didn't mind it, actually.
I mean, it was kind of interesting.
I saw him at the airport the other day.
You did?
What was he like?
Having a giant glass of wine at 10 and a cheese board at 10 a.m.
Oh, God.
And then I hilariously opened the Sun newspaper, this British newspaper. He was in the lounge, and then we weren't on the same flight. And then in the paper, it talked all about, like, he was doing interviews for The Joker. And one of the quotes was, you know, talking about his past addiction and stuff like that. And it said, now he only drinks on planes.
Ah!
And I was like, ooh, that is so smart.
It would have been
like, if anybody sees you in the lounge having a glass of wine at 10 a.m., oh, nobody could say a thing. He's a nervous flyer.
It would have been funny if you'd opened the paper and the picture in the paper was the picture of him drinking wine and eating cheese.
It happened like within 10 minutes of seeing him.
Scary.
I was opening the newspaper and I was just laughing.
You can confirm.
Yeah. He looks just like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Has he put any weight back on?
Yes, definitely.
He
but he's not, you know, like chubby or anything like that, but he looked like a regular sized person.
He looked good?
As opposed to his skinny.
Do you look happy?
He looked chill. He looked, he looked at peace.
Was he kind of staring ahead, or did he have a book? Or
he was coming back to sit down. I didn't want to stare at him. He was coming to sit back down by his cheese board and his glass of wine. I don't know if he'd just been to the bathroom or what was going on, but he looked like relaxed.
I'm sure.
I mean, as much as he can, he has that look of that pinched nerve thing in his neck, you know.
Yeah.
But he was wearing like jeans and a black hoodie and some Converse, and you know,
he was dressed like me.
He seemed like he was okay, like moving through the world.
Maybe he was going on vacation.
I think not at this point. I mean, it comes out next week. Yeah.
Excuse me, flying back from London doing press.
Wow,
but he seemed like he had it figured out to the extent that it could be at this time in his life.
Could we ask for anything more?
No, but you know, there's that feeling of like, he didn't seem like super nervous that people might be looking at him. He knew that people would look at him, but like you can kind of feel it.
Yeah.
Like how they wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they make a scene or they don't, or, you know, famous people. And he just kind of was like being a dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you were going to say.
I'm Not Here documentary. That one grosses me out because it's like just these two famous white guys just like trying to mess with people because they can, and they're trying to comment on fame, but they themselves are famous. So it was just like, that one grossed me out.
Well, I don't like anything pranky ever.
Oh, so you're not a big like Borat fan?
Actually, I love Borat.
I do love Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. It's funny. I do love Borat, and I like Bruno too. And I like, it's funny. I do like those. I think that's the exposing hypocrisy thing.
Yeah.
But also I think he's brilliant at that. Like just letting the joke last forever. Like,
yeah.
He's just has balls of steel to sit there while that stuff happens instead of being like, yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
Right.
I do love Borat, but in general, I do not enjoy a prank or,
you don't like cranky
man on
anchors.
The street.
You don't like a Jackass.
No. The Jackass, they're, I guess they're pranking each other.
But they
It'll make me laugh
stuff.
Like 4 or 5 times. But yeah, I don't need to watch Bad Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And that says a lot. And that's.
But
that
maybe it's fun. I mean, I bet it would make me laugh 4 or 5 times. I don't like making fools of people, really.
And so, well, that.
Unless they have it coming to them, I guess, which is what Borat would be.
But who's to say they have it coming to them?
I mean
who's the judge of how they have it coming to them?
My opinion.
So then in the case of the working girl gal, I mean, I just don't think, it's just hard for me because in the working girl situation, I have two opinions where it's like, lie on your resume. Why the hell not is my whole thing of like to get ahead. If you've got the ability to do something and the only way to get ahead, I'm not saying like the furthest I would go would be to like lie on my resume. Like I wouldn't, you know. Pretend I was someone I wasn't, but
but you would just pretend to have a degree from Harvard Business School.
Not that, but I'd say I could like jet ski. You know what I mean?
But and then just figure it out when the time came.
Yes.
So you'd be in mm-hmm. charge of a huge company whose job is mergers and acquisitions, and then you just like figure it out when you got
no,
there.
No, no, no. If I like knew, if I was like good at it, I was good at, if I knew I was good at that, like I was, I wouldn't lie about something that.
That you couldn't deliver the goods on.
Yes.
That's yes. a big difference. Yeah.
I would, it would be something I could deliver the goods on, and I know I could.
Like you would say, oh, I have my master's.
Yeah. In mergers,
yeah. yeah, mergers and acquisitions,
and then I'd, you know, I'd be able to do it.
I would never ever lie about anything like that.
I don't think to get a job.
I think I would either. No, I would be too nervous.
Oh, see, I'd figure it out. That's the thing. Like, if it was like, hey, we're casting this role, and you need to be able to like horseback ride or something, and you need to be like a proficient horseback rider.
Oh no, are you kidding?
Well, I'd say yes, and then I'd go take. But if I got the job, I'd go take horseback lessons.
But you
right
can't
away.
Become a proficient horseback rider in like two lessons.
No, it wouldn't be two. I'd make sure it happened. But to open that door, I'd be like, yeah, I'll be able to do that.
Well, I learned my lesson with that the hard way when I had roller skating on my special skills.
Oh no,
and I was in a Skechers commercial.
Okay.
And all of a sudden they put me, like, I didn't know what was happening, but they switched my part. I didn't book a roller skating part, thank God. I booked another role where my line, this is when I was like 22, and my line was, I was walking on a pier and I said, I haven't fit into these jeans since college. And I was like 22.
Yeah,
at the time.
Last week.
Yeah. And so they were like watching the monitor being like, this doesn't make sense. Let's trade her out with this other girl. So they traded me out and put me in roller skates. Okay. So along this pier, and I was supposed to just like
right
roller
into the
skate
ocean.
Through
oh my God.
Frame on this pier. And I could not do it. I was like walking, you know, you like walk with
oh,
the big
Amanda.
Clompers on. So what they had to do is get two PAs on either side of the pier.
Oh,
and they pushed me. So one would push me and I would just sail along the pier and then the other one would catch me.
Oh God, Alex.
Oh my goodness.
It was horrifying.
What if that was the commercial? It turned out they were just doing a wide shot of them.
But anyway, I would not lie on my resume like that. But unless it was something like I already did know how to do, but I just didn't have the certificate or something, then I could justify
it. I wish
I
had a little bit more of that street urchin in me. Like,
yeah, there's yeah. a lot of that now.
I don't. I really do wish. I think I would, that would stand me in good stead in my life to have a little more.
Do you think
blur the lines a mm-hmm. little bit more?
Do you think when it comes to doing it for art that it's, do you think there's something that we've gained as a society because something like J.T. Leroy existed?
Yes.
I do too.
But I think that's performance art.
But I don't
of.
Think they meant it to be. I think it
well, they
was
were
born
performance artists.
Oh, because
they had like that band and they were
right.
part of that whole San Francisco scene. But I don't. I think honestly, everything that we're talking about goes to intent. The question is
yes.
intent. They wanted to rip people off and make a lot of money, and they thought it was kind of. I think it probably snowballed, but they were like, I think they had a little bit of that of like. Fuck yeah, let's see if they'll take it. Will they eat more of this? Will they eat more
yeah.
of this?
And when they started eating it, they were probably like, whoa.
And I think, no, I think they were hungry for it
yeah.
and greedy and like, let's just see what we can get out of this. And to this day are pretty indignant about it. I read some article with her last year, but I think with like, do you or don't you hire the person at the end of the fraud? Is about intent. It's always that scene. I can't remember where they have that scene with Melanie Griffith and Harrison Ford, where she's basically just like, I just wanted to do this thing and no one was going to let me. And so I did. And if that makes me a bad person, then, you know, like you can decide how you feel about me
yeah.
essentially. But I think her intention was that she deserves a better life and that she knows she's good at this. And she proved she was good at it. You know what I mean? So it's like,
what happened to the boss? I forget what happened when
she
the
broke
boss
her leg skiing.
And then did she come back?
I'm yes,
sure
she came
back.
Back. Yeah, she comes back, and that's how the whole ruse unfolds.
Right. I just
so final thoughts because then we're going to get to our dear big one. But
I just feel like when it comes to like a lot like duping people like that, it's hard for me to be on board with it. And I, and like, just because you think you deserve it.
Oh my God, you just spent the whole podcast saying that you would have done any of these things.
No, no, no. I'm saying like a little thing to get ahead, but I'm saying like a huge dupe where like you're saying like it being the pretending you're the head of a company, like not like no, but I'm saying like to get a foot in the door. Yeah. Do what you need to do to get your foot in the door.
I see. And but then work your way up when you're in there.
But don't jump on the desk, you know, and start dancing around because, you know, there's other people that you can't decide that you're more fit for something than everyone else.
But I think you can. And if you know, like the thing is, for me, I'm all for it because if you know and you're sitting there day after day and you're doing the work and you have the ideas and you know you can execute it, then I'm into it.
But why not? Why can't she start her own company?
Because she's a woman.
No, she doesn't have that's what I... The thinking she's owed something is the something that I think bothers me, which I think is different than the JT Leroy thing where they're doing what they're doing and they're getting traction from what they're doing, even if the thing they're doing is a lie. Where in the Melanie Griffith thing is, I'm owed this, give it to me, and oh, they're not going to give it to me, then I'm going to basically fraudulently get my way in.
No, what she's saying is I'm owed a chance, yeah. Not I'm owed the job. And I'm owed an opportunity. And that movie takes place at a very specific time, yeah, when a woman couldn't get an opportunity. Like if you did that now, it would be like, it would not fly at all.
But then
not
when women get opportunities, they become Elizabeth Holmes.
This is why you think women shouldn't get opportunities.
So there's only two women in the world?
Here's Melanie Griffith.
No, but in fairness, a lot of Silicon Valley companies are just made of dust. Like nothing,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that whole economy is insane. Like people just raise money and give money and hope that one of these things explodes. But she knew for far too long. She really was drunk on the power of the thing. What she really wanted from being a child, said she wanted to be a billionaire. She didn't want to revolutionize the health industry.
What would you do if your kid said, oh, when I grow up, I just want to be a billionaire?
I would be so delighted.
Really?
Oh, that mean that I would be taken care of.
Yeah, but then
no, you're raising a sociopath. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? What are your final thoughts?
I just think I think it's situational, but I'm a far too forthcoming person to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And I do think though that when the system is not rewarding, when we're not in a meritocracy, when the system is not rewarding that you're good at your job or that you're able to do something and not giving someone an opportunity, I find it hard to fault someone who tries to find a workaround for that. But if I ran that company, I'm not sure I would keep that person on.
No, I wouldn't either. Amanda?
But Wall Street is like full of people who are just fucking people over all the time.
Exactly.
I know. Yeah. I think it's a cutthroat industry, and I feel like
The mergers and acquisitions.
M&As. We can call it M&As.
M&As is a cutthroat industry. And I like it. I'm in. I'm doing it. And I would let her keep her job. I mean, maybe not that exact position, but I would definitely give her a promotion from being a secretary.
Oh yeah.
Because I like the grit. I like the gumption.
It's always how the story ends.
And you also like the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, she's skinny legs.
She's great. She's got a smile for days.
She does. Natural charm, Melanie.
It really is. It's like this shy, it's like this coy sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a Dear Big Ones, Maria?
Yes, I do. So
I hope that you enjoyed that discussion.
I certainly did.
Okay, good.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, wow. Matt just texted me, and I'm sure this is what all the listeners are thinking. Amanda's husband just texted me.
Is he listening to us?
No.
This is live.
But he said, what movie did you bleep out on the latest Big Ones?
Oh, I've been getting those texts all morning.
Really?
Yeah, because Maria refuses to shit talk any Hollywood movies in case she
gets
the
chance. Any bridges.
She doesn't want to burn any bridges. So she always bleeps out what
What a prison you live in.
I know.
Is it? Or is it, am I free?
I don't understand it.
Because I can bleep out I could say whatever I want and just bleep it out. How many people have texted you about it?
Just one.
Who?
Just my sister.
I'll never tell. Okay, so
I do tell people though when they ask.
Well, then you tell them, but then I'll say, no, that's not who. That's not what I said.
Okay, fine. We'll play that.
She's wrong. Okay, this is when a listener writes in and asks for help with their little moral dilemma. Okay, here we go. Hold on one second.
By the way, I'm only crossing my arms because I'm freezing.
Oh, it's so cold in here. I know.
But I'm cold all the time.
But it is cold in here. We sneak out. There's like a thermostat in the hallway that you can, it's on a timer. So we sneak out as much as we can and turn it off. But then the men, they turn it back on.
Oh, that's the workplace.
I know. It is. We're in it.
Okay. Well, let's do this one because this one has it has kind of what we were talking about. Amanda, do you want to read?
Okay. Here's my little big one. What's the deal with pranksters? Like, it sounds kind of cool and funny when guys like George Clooney do pranks on set. I encourage you to watch this clip summary of Clooney pranks for insight. But we all know
that Clooney.
So as someone who's like, let's do a prank, just an asshole. It seems like it's giving an innocent friend a couple minutes of anxiety or discomfort. Have you guys been around any intense practical jokes or pranks? All the best, PB in Denver. This actually occurred to me because I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians that much, but mm-hmm. I did the other day. And
are
you talking
did you about
guys
that
see
mime the
Chris,
or the
no when Kris Jenner pretended to get pummeled by Kim's new security team?
Oh, that sounds awful.
She set up this whole, because they were all complaining that Kim's security is too tight and blah 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 blah. God. So they did this whole fake where they hired a body double and the security like attacked her.
This is horrible.
And then Kim was sobbing and then she came home and her mom
like,
was
Kim
in, like,
needed
a
to be
brace.
Re-traumatized after the Paris robbery.
I know, but anyway, I'm not a huge fan of pranks. I love a very innocent, absurd surprise like that mm-hmm. could be considered
like
a prank. Well, like the time, this is, I've never loved my husband more than the time we were eating pizza just on this little balcony and there was like a podium, like a hostess stand, and it had a little string hanging from it. And I went in to go to the bathroom and I came back out and Matt went, oh my God, you have to pull that string. Just go pull it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what's going to happen? I was a little scared. And so I walked over there and I pulled the string and nothing happened. It was just a string. So I don't know if you can consider that a prank.
Yeah, I don't like huge, I don't like it when it's like, let's all gang up on this person and laugh. But I do love making someone for a slight moment feel like a bit of a fool. I think that's funny.
Yeah, I think it's when it's done in good humor, in jest, it's okay. But I think, and also when it has to be really specific to the person or the situation. But yeah, in general, whenever people are like, put out a box of free chocolates. Okay. And
what is that?
Then you go to have a box of free, you like try to have a chocolate and you're like, they're made of shit. And you're
I don't need that.
And you're
that's
like,
horrible.
So I'm an idiot because I trusted like,
is this what happened where you're going to do the Yelp review earlier?
No, no, but I mean anything where you're like, oh, okay. So the premise is I trusted you. Like I trusted the way society works and you offered me a chocolate and I took one.
Yeah.
So that's funny. I'm an asshole. Like anything like that is never funny to me. But when it's like, probably, I don't know what Clooney's pranks are, but when it has to do with a situation of like, let's say somebody's the big boss and everybody knows they love this thing and da 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 da. And then we're going to pull them in here and trick them into thinking it's this and blah, blah. But Kim, I mean, Chris getting pummeled by and a body double is like,
it's not okay.
Also, you're her mother. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I like, again, a good natured prank, but anything that like a whoopee cushion, I don't like.
I don't love
like
a scare either.
Oh, no. I don't need a scare ever. Amanda's thinking she does like a scare.
So you don't like a whoopee cushion, but you like a scare.
I like a scare.
Like someone coming around the corner and going, gotcha.
Not exactly like that, but more like maybe a hidden little something that you open your medicine cabinet, an innocent scare.
Like what?
Well, like
snakes out of a can.
Yes.
Oh, spring snakes. Yeah. I do. I love spring snakes.
Oh, see,
you
I
like
don't.
A surprise, though.
Yeah,
right? That goes back to your
surprise.
Thing.
Well, also, now that I know, I'll surprise you.
No, not you, though.
Too close.
Too close. I'll punch you, and then I don't want you to press charges.
No, punch me. I dare you to punch me.
No.
Well, I need the money. Jessica, did you have fun?
I had a great time. Thank
really?
You for having me. It was a little cold, as I said.
Yeah. We can't. It's
but
the
other
workplace.
Than being a little cold, I had a great time.
Oh, that's good.
Well, where can people, what do you got going on? Do you want people to look
so
for anything?
So little. No, nothing.
Do you want
nothing.
Someone to find you on
look
Instagram?
For
nothing.
I want somebody to give me a job before October 19th. That's what I really want.
All right. Okay.
No, I'm on I'm on this and that, and I'm in I'm on the Instagram and the but barely. Okay. I know I'm not doing
that. Don't bother.
Instead of following her, just write and review.
Yeah. If you say, do me a favor, write a review about how great I was in the iTunes section.
That'll make my day.
That's great. That sounds awesome.
No, I'm on Big Mouth, which is coming out this week.
That's great. Yeah, Netflix, baby.
Netflix, Big Mouth, and then this and that.
And when does that start?
I know I'm like the worst self-promoter.
You really are.
I could literally be in Martin Scorsese's The Irishman coming out. In, you know, like the movie of the year, and I would be like, oh yeah, watch that, I'm in that.
Oh, see, I would be screaming that from the rooftops.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in it.
I'd say I'm in The Irishman.
Yes, I'm not, but I am in Big Mouth, which I love more than anything.
That's great.
I play Jesse's mom, Shannon Glazer.
Well,
love it.
That's great. That's what's
Thank
it like being
so
part of the Netflix family? It's, is it fun?
It's such a warm embrace.
Are the Stranger Things kids cool?
It's what they're so great, those kids.
Yeah.
No, I've never met them, but I imagine they're a laugh riot.
Oh yeah, they love it. They're loving life. I've never seen kids love life more.
No, they remind me of Drew Barrymore during E.T. Mm-hmm. when she was at every party getting her little snoot into a beer somebody left on a counter. Yeah.
But it's a new age. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. They dress too fashion forward.
Well, it is always funny to me when the nerdiest person in the world becomes a Saint Laurent model.
You're right.
Where I'm just like, I don't really have a lot of time.
But
for
that's
that.
In. Nerds are in.
The nerds are in.
Yeah.
I know. We missed it. I missed my moment.
No. The people like me who think like, oh, she could never be a model. It's like I'm not nerdy enough to then become a model. I'm just plain enough to never be asked.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Any one of us could say that about ourselves.
About me?
About you.
You guys can find us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter. You can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review and subscribe. Please join our Patreon. And that's it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening to
The Big Ones.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.